Welcome back, everybody, to Full Press Coverage Radio. This is the Full Press Coverage Steelers podcast. This is your host, as always, Parker Hurley. This is our episode 24. As always, I'm with Brian Harker over at Steelers Wire. So let's bring in Brian. Let's see how he's doing on this fine Wednesday afternoon. How you doing, Brian?
Much better now. The day is over.
Yeah, Brian's having a tough work week, and it's one of those weeks where you were talking about, you know, my weather has just been raining for like three or four straight days, and yeah, you got that hard work week, and the Steelers tied the freaking Cleveland Browns, so we're all in the same similar mood. I talked about on one thing that I thought, you know, it felt like the Browns treated that game like a win, and we treated that game like a loss, just based on the scenarios, you know, although it was a tie. So we didn't get to do a week one anything podcast. We kind of had some scheduling conflicts, but we're back and we're going to do one podcast this week. We're going to probably do two a week moving forward, a recap and a preview. So we're kind of just going to squeeze everything in together and do a recap / preview of the Kansas City Chiefs week two game against the Steelers midway through the week, so why not just do it there. We're going to kind of hit on a couple of the fine points, some of the bigger points in this game. That Brian had laid out over at Steelers Wire that you can look at, and I'll probably have something here at fullpresscoverage.com, so you'll definitely want to check that out as well. But, you know, the big thing Brian was pointing out was these two teams have a history right now, and the Steelers tend to, you know, dominate this history, at least in recent history, or really over a long period of time even. But, you know, the Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger era has had great success against Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe it's 6-1 Ben Roethlisberger is, and Mike Tomlin's 5-2. So, Brian, I think you even said it goes even further back. So, you know, do you think that even plays into anything, you know, the Andy Reid versus Mike Tomlin thing especially? Do you think Ben Roethlisberger just has the number? Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, the history of this rivalry, I mean, it goes back to 1970. And it alternated every year for about the first 5 years. Then they played a ton of games in Kansas City, then a ton of games in Pittsburgh. Now it's kind of gone back to Kansas City. But in the Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin era, you know, they faced some Chiefs teams that had tough defenses, but yet Ben Roethlisberger, the offense, just seems to dominate them. And I see that trend continuing. You know, they had a rough game last. I think the timing was off with Ben and Antonio. But usually that doesn't last for more than one game. And I really see a continuation of Pittsburgh dominating. They're playing a rookie. Well, he's not a rookie, but essentially he is. Pat Mahomes is a rookie. Second year in the league, first year starting. And, you know, I see the defense throwing out a bunch of different looks and a bunch of different blitz packages to confuse them, and I think that the average score of these games, at least in Pittsburgh, is 26-18, and I think Kansas City's lost enough that they may not be able to compete in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the recent history especially goes back to, you know, the Chiefs lost the playoff game, a home playoff game, with Alex Smith at the helm. You know, and it sent the Steelers to the AFC Championship game because of it, you know, in a last-second field goal by Chris Boswell. And, you know, the very next season, the Chiefs were trying to get some revenge on the Steelers, and they were 6-0 at the time. And they were hosting the Steelers, who I think were coming off a loss to maybe even the Bears, it was the 5-interception game by Ben they were coming off of. And they ended up going into Kansas City and spoiling their undefeated season. So, really, you know, if you told the Chiefs, you know, two of their five most painful losses over the past, you know, couple years are easily Steelers games. So, you know, Chiefs fans are coming into this game. And, you know, Andy Reid probably has this game circled. And, yeah, he does have an issue with Mike Tomlin. And it's interesting because Reid is, like, they're so different stylistically, their coaching styles. And Reid really struggles with the in-game management. And Mike Tomlin really excels off of, you know, building off of players' momentum and kind of, you know, living, kind of, you know, playing in the moment, situations like that. So it makes sense why Tomlin would be such a better coach than Reid, because in game, Tomlin just throws variables at Reid that Reid doesn't really he has never been able to comprehend or handle. So I think that there's kind of some stock to be put into the Steelers' recent success over Andy Reid. And you talked about Ben Roethlisberger always just seems to kill the secondary. Even when they had Marcus Peters, he was putting up big plays on them. And now you look at this secondary and they have, they're really struggling in terms of depth, in terms of talent. Steven Nelson, I think their slot cornerback, is one of the worst graded by PFF from week one. And, you know, you look at the Chargers game, they definitely won a tough road game, which is an impressive feat for the Chiefs. But you look at it, Tyrell Williams dropped a touchdown, Travis Benjamin dropped a touchdown, and the Chargers still put up 28 points. They also missed a field goal. So, you know, 17 points were really just left on the field. The Chargers did score 28 as it was. So, you know, this defense, they traded Alex Smith for Kendall Fuller, a slot cornerback. But like I said, they lost, they already lost somebody. Steven Nelson's getting beat up. So, I mean, I think Ben's probably going to bounce back in this game. You know, weather bearing, it was a monsoon in Cleveland. And I think that had a lot to do with most of his struggles. So I think Ben's going to bounce back. He's in a huge opportune time against a team that, you know, they did just get torched, even in only giving up 28 points. It was actually a lot worse than that. So, you know, what do you think overall about Ben, and how do you feel like the pass catchers are going to do in this game?
Well, once again, you get another week of practice. Antonio's going to be, you know, that we work in probably, you know, much better weather. There's more of a comfort. I'm expecting James Washington to partake in this week's game, which was kind of mystifying, but I understand that, you know, he'd missed some time with an injury, so he wasn't able to prepare for the game. As far as Kansas City goes, you know, they're basically going from Kansas City to San Diego, back to Kansas City and right to Pittsburgh. So, you know, they're traveling across the country.
Right.
That's going to be rough on them as well. James Conner, I mean, he's got to be just coming off of a high. I mean, he had a marvelous performance in his debut as a starter. There's just so many things working in Pittsburgh's favor, regardless of what it might seem coming off of last week. But those were mental mistakes. You know, you can correct mental mistakes. There's definitely no talent issues. So, and they're playing at Heinz Field. I really don't see, well, this is a bounce back series, and that's traditionally what it's been. You know, back in 2015, Kansas City looked like their season was over. Then they come in and beat Pittsburgh and then win their final nine games. A few years back, it was, once again, Pittsburgh coming off a disappointing loss. They go in and they knock off Kansas City, and that kind of catapulted them for a strong run down, you know, down the stretch. So I kind of see that trend continuing this week.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you look at the Chiefs cornerbacks, and I mean, Eric Berry, I don't know what his status is. I know he was out in week one, and that really obviously affected things. But, you know, when he's not out there, it's, you know, Ron Parker's out there, and it's really not, you know, their safeties just put no threat of, you know, no fear into anybody, and Ben's going to test them. And then you look at their cornerbacks, nobody can really compete with them. Even Denzel Ward, the rookie, is probably would be better than any of the Chiefs' current cornerbacks. And, you know, he did play pretty well for the Browns last week. So, yeah, I think the receivers are definitely going to have a big game. You know, then on the other side, you kind of look, you know, maybe Mahomes will have, you know, a decent little game here, because I talked about how, you know, the defense gave up 28. It could have been more. Fact of the matter is the Chiefs kind of were in control of that entire game, and it was because of Pat Mahomes. Well, it was mainly because of Tyreek Hill, who's, you know, really going to be the big issue to resolve, because you talked about with Pat Mahomes how the Steelers have typically had success against younger quarterbacks. Carson Wentz was really the one difference where he kind of put it on the Steelers as a rookie. I know Mahomes, like we both said, isn't a rookie, but he is young. When you throw new things that he hasn't really seen at him, it'll be interesting to see how he reacts. The one thing that I would be worried about is he's such a, like, gunslinger, playmaker, like, kind of just does it on the run type of play style. So it could, you know, every once in a while, it could just result in a huge play where, you know, a blitz that he didn't see coming, even though, you know, just his ability to improvise could kind of make something happen. And that's especially an issue when you factor in Tyreek Hill and really Sammy Watkins, too, because both of them are so fast and both of them demand so much attention down the field. And that should open up the middle, you know, the lower middle for Travis Kelce, because both of those two are demanding so much respect. And I mean, Hill just went absolutely crazy, you know, really no one has the speed to match up with Hill. But how do you think the Steelers do match up with Hill? Sean Davis, another thing, you know, to kind of recap, had a really great game in week one in a new position at free safety. You could see his athleticism on display. He's obviously not fast enough for Tyreek Hill, but do you think that, you know, is he in for trouble in this game, or do you think that he can manage the speed and athleticism of Watkins and Hill?
That's touch and go, but once again, you know, Tyreek Hill, he's just got that difference-making speed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be crucial if Joe Hayden can play. I haven't seen the injury report yet, but if they're calling it just a minor hamstring and he's okay to go, that would be the ideal situation. That could fall a lot on Cam Sutton. You know, he played pretty decent. But, yeah, I think Davis could have some trouble with Hill, you know. Hill's just so shifty. And yeah. I know he's athletic. Davis is athletic, and he's got some speed. But that shiftiness, I just don't know that Davis can do much about that.
Yeah, and, you know, you think the weather probably had to do with, you know, or at least help Davis in transitioning through his first game. You know, maybe the ball kind of wobbles up in the air a little bit more, you know, due to the wind and everything like that. So that kind of helps Sean Davis in that regard. Yeah, you look at Pat Mahomes, the dude just throws balls on a dart, you know, with a rifle. So that'll be interesting as well. So, you know, the one thing that I think the Steelers are going to have to do probably is you got to start playing too deep. And they played a little too deep against the Browns. And it makes sense because Terrell Edmonds got the start over Morgan Burnett. And, you know, he's younger, faster, more athletic than Morgan Burnett. So you can kind of put him and Davis back there and split the field, you know, due to these deep threats. But then you're probably going to have to get Morgan Burnett on the field, you know, to match up with a guy like Travis Kelce over the middle of the field. They did that a lot as well last game too. So probably, you know, John Bostic, maybe not really a game for him. He played really well in the first game. I got to give some props to John Bostic. So did Vince Williams. And Vince Williams played pretty much every single snap in that game. So Vince is just kind of going to be stapled in there. But I think you do put Morgan Burnett in over John Bostic for the majority of the game to match up with Kelce over the middle. And then I would just play a shell, just a huge shell too deep. And like you said, it would obviously help with Joe Hayden. He showed some athleticism reaching over the top of one of the Browns receivers. I thought that was pretty impressive by Hayden. So, you know, it would be really great if he was in the mix. And Artie Burns, you know, is obviously really fast and athletic. That's really what the Steelers drafted him purely off of. But it's going to be a grind. That's obviously, you know, we're feeling good about in terms of, you know, historically, Tomlin has a good edge over Reed. Ben's probably going to really do something against this, you know, porous secondary. But on the very other side, the Chiefs just have so many playmakers is what it really is. You know, even though Patrick Mahomes is so young and they're going to throw things at him that he's never seen. But like I said, he's that playmaker to where, and he has the skill players to where when he freelances and when things break down and he kind of gets out of the pocket, he can just throw it up. And these dudes are so electric that they can kind of come down with it. So it's going to be interesting to just really see how this one unfolds completely. And it's going to be an aerial attack. That's kind of why we would start with both sides on the air. Now we'll kind of move to the ground more and move to the offensive lines and the trenches. You look at the Chiefs, they're bringing in a pretty talented offensive line, really. They have two strong tackles. Mitch Morse had a really strong game at center to start. And, you know, they're bringing back Devon Tardif, their guard who's, you know, he's a really talented guard. And they just traded for Cam Irving, who made his first start. He's probably easily their weakest link on the offensive line, but it's a pretty competent offensive line. But then you look on the other side, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive line is, you know, we talked about it all summer. It's the strength of this team. I don't think anything in the first game really said otherwise. I know Hayward had a pretty big game, too. It had a big game. Hargrave didn't do too much, and McCullers was in there a little bit. But, you know, including Watt and Dupree with the pass rush, how do you think that they're going to, you know, suffice against a pretty good offensive line out in Kansas City?
See, that's where I hope Dupree's performance was, you know, a hint of things to come because, you know, he did impress me quite a bit. He looks pretty comfortable on the left side. And if he can repeat what he did against Cleveland, against Kansas City, I think that'll go a long way to helping out, taking a lot of pressure off of the defensive line and the secondary. I don't know how many pressures he got, maybe four, five maybe.
Who was that again?
Dupree.
Yeah, I think he did. He was, you know, he played really well. And yeah, he got after it. And then, I mean, obviously Watt did, you know, everything. So they're going to mix and match him. I thought that that was the biggest thing that Keith Butler did that he, you know, we really haven't seen too much of him, was that he mixed blitzes and he disguised blitzes and he, you know, kind of mixed things up really well. And I think that's why, you know, Dupree had, you know, more of an effective game. So I think that's kind of how you have to do it with those guys. And they have to kind of overpower them with, you know, Cam and Tuitt are just your kind of physical strengths. And then you kind of scheme some things up where it's just run to the quarterback and just nail him for Dupree. It's probably, it gets easier for them. Then you kind of move to the other side of the ball with the Steelers offensive line against the Chiefs defensive line. The Chiefs defensive line, it's a pretty decent front as well. Chris Jones had a really big game against the San Diego Chargers, so he's a player to watch for. Then, you know, overall, I kind of want to get your thoughts on Villanueva, because, you know, the Myles Garrett thing, you know, I mean, he had a great game, there's no doubt about it, but I tend to think that it was more, this dude is elite, this dude's going to have a great season, you know, more than just his great game, than it was anything about an indictment of Villanueva. I think you could argue, as weird as it sounds, because Myles Garrett kind of, I mean, he pretty much tied the game. You know, he didn't win the game, but he tied the game, you know, put the team on his back, and really, in that second half, it was just the Myles Garrett show. But at the end of the day, I thought Villanueva played well. Where would you stand there?
I totally agree with you. I mean, he had one holding call, but he had to. He pretty much saved Ben's life, once again, grabbing a hold of Garrett. But you can't argue with what he did. I mean, he looked impressive. And as far as blocking Myles Garrett, Villanueva might have had the best day out of all the offensive linemen.
Yeah, the Myles Garrett, there was one play where, like, he had his, like, he was bent over, you know, his hand was touching the ground, and he was still able to bend around Alejandro Villanueva. And it's just like, Villanueva is 6'8". Like, even Myles Garrett is like 6'5". He should not be able to touch his toes and run full speed around another human being. Like, that's just, it's crazy. Like, yeah, there's just no way you could blame Alejandro Villanueva for letting that happen. That's just so crazy. And he's going to be, I mean, my stepbrother lives in Cleveland, and he's a Browns fan, and I texted him after the game and said, I can't wait until you guys Khalil Mack him and trade him to some other team, because that's the only way it's going to end well for the Steelers. He's going to be a pain in their ass for, you know, forever now. It seems like that was his coming out performance. But yeah, then what do you think about the rest of the line? You kind of said, you know, Villanueva probably held his ground the most, considering who you were lined up against. You know, Garrett is the star of that group. There's no doubt about it. On the other side, you know, Ogba, their other defensive end, he was out, or he ended up leaving the game early. So, you know, the rest of the O-line, I think there were some questions there. What did you think overall about that group?
Not bad. I figured that the worst-case scenario would be that the weather conditions would really slow down the pass rush, but it seemed to have the opposite effect. It would seem like it was harder for the offensive lineman to anchor and stop that pass rush. I mean, overall, I didn't think they did bad. Once again, Cleveland's got a better defensive front than people give them credit for, and those linebackers, you know, I mean, they all made plays. And I think, oddly enough, you can't fault them. I thought they did a pretty good job based on the conditions that they were playing in. I just didn't expect it to work out that way. I figured the offensive lines would dominate and the defensive lines would suffer on both teams, but you know, it's hard to predict something like that. Kansas City, I think they're similar, but I would expect the offensive line to perform a little bit better in better conditions.
Yeah, I think the group as a whole played better. You know, David DeCastro fractured his hand, and he missed a couple plays, but he came right back in with it, and I thought he was really good. I thought he was arguably the best of the group, especially in terms of run blocking. He was still able to get to the second level. I think of the group, probably Pouncey was, you know, arguably the worst, which is, I wouldn't say it's alarming or anything, but it'll just be something to watch against the Chiefs, who, like I said, I think they're kind of led by Chris Jones as an upfield penetrator. It's probably going to be a lot of him on Foster and Pouncey and DeCastro, so it'll be interesting to see where exactly they align him up and how they're able to get the ground game running. And then kind of, you know, we'll just kind of go into the ground game here, and then we'll go into some predictions. So the ground, you know, Connor, he really lit it up for, you know, the majority of the game. You know, he has the big fumble that, you know, pretty much sways the entire momentum, and, you know, it goes from 21-7 to 21-14. But, you know, that it was killer, but, you know, at the end of the day, he had a pretty good game overall. He had a pretty good pass blocking game, which I thought was huge for him. You know, there were like one or two that he kind of struggled with that, you know, yeah, Le'Veon Bell doesn't struggle with any of them, but I mean, he had a pretty good game overall. James Conner did. So do you think Conner can kind of repeat this? Is this kind of a growing effect? I mean, it did seem like towards the end he kind of got worn down, but you also don't expect them to ride him that much. You know, if it's like 17 to 20 carries, do you think it's of the same efficiency or like a similar efficiency?
I think so, just based on the kind of player and the kind of person he is. You know, he's the kind of guy that's, all right, I set the standard for myself. This is my start. I don't want to do any worse. He's going to put the work in. I think he's going to be up for it. And I think you're going to have a similar type of performance. Like I say, once again, I don't know that the Kansas City run defense is that much better than Cleveland's. So now he's kind of got a benchmark. He knows what it's all about now. I think I expect him to pull off a similar type of deal.
Yeah, one thing to definitely note is Cleveland's linebackers are better than Kansas City's linebackers for sure. I mean, they just signed Anthony Hitchens, and he's playing next to Reggie Ragland, but they're both kind of more slower players than they are kind of sideline-to-sideline speed type of players, and they're both kind of just being mixed in slowly into this group, so I do think they're probably going to have some run success, the Steelers are, and I mean, the way we're shaping this up is, you know, looking for some, you know, a big strength for the Steelers' defensive line, because that O-line's good for the Chiefs. We talked about how their skill players, you know, it's going to be really tough to defend them, and the Steelers are going to kind of have to just sell out on one specific way of defending them. But then on the other side, you have Ben Roethlisberger is going to probably torch this weakened secondary with his skill players back at home, everything like that. Connor probably has the same efficiency. I mean, we're thinking of a shootout at this point. Really for, you know, both sides of the football. So, you know, you were confident early talking about how the history and you think it correlates and you think everything will be the same. So are you kind of feeling it? Where do you stand? What do you have for the score here?
I think Pittsburgh can put up somewhere around 35 points. 35-28, I think, is what the final score will be, somewhere in there.
35-28?
Yeah. The thing that scares me is, a guy like Pat Mahomes has no fear. He's going to throw the ball anytime, anywhere. Now, the good thing about that is, you know, inexperience, he's going to make mistakes. Can the Steelers force him into making mistakes instead of giving him big play opportunities?
Right, yeah. Like I said, of most rookie or young quarterbacks, Mahomes scares me more than a lot of other guys because he just doesn't really care at this point. He's going to let it fling out there, and he has the skill players to let it happen. So, The big thing for the Steelers, we talked about it before the podcast, is getting Ben Roethlisberger rhythmic and in momentum and, you know, kind of moving him along. Because if you go three and out against the Chiefs and, you know, Mahomes, all of a sudden it's one play, 80 yards, Tyreek Hill, touchdown, and, you know, it's 7-0, and then now Ben's starting to feel it, and, you know, it's 10-0, you know, real quick, and then the crowd's starting to get out of it. And, you know, that's how it just happens that quickly. Especially with a guy like Mahomes, who it literally can happen in one play because of his arm. So it's worth looking. You know, it's going to be a good game, in my opinion. I do think it's going to have that back-and-forth nature. But I think the Steelers, the big game plan is, you know, get the balls to start the game, kind of drive down the field, you know, be efficient and score early. And then, you know, like I said with Keith Butler, you're mixing things up in the blitzing. You're changing things up. You're showing different looks at him. Bud's dropping back, Watt's blitzing, dropping back, Bud's blitzing. You're figuring things out with Morgan Burnett in the middle is how I would definitely see it. I'm going to give the Steelers the edge. I'm going to say 38-31 in this one, similarly to you. But I do think the Steelers are going to get by in this one. I think it's going to be really high scoring. So, Brian, any final thoughts overall about what you think is going to happen here?
I know what I'd like to see, and it just hit me. You take a guy like Mike Hilton to check, you know, maybe check Tyreek Hill underneath early, redirect him, whatever. does Hill mostly, he mostly lines up in the slot, correct? Or they got him outside this year?
They move him around, yeah. He's all around, honestly. But he does, when they have Chris Conley and Sammy Watkins, when they have both of them, he's in the slot.
Okay. You know, I'd like to see him maybe put a guy like Mike Hilton on him as much as possible anyway. Similar type of quickness, similar kind of speed. Maybe that's the best way to neutralize him and then let Burns and Hayden take Watkins and Conley. That's kind of what I would like to see happen. I think that's their best chance of, early on anyway, of controlling Hill, taking him out of the game.
That, in my opinion, is the most fascinating matchup, is how do you not get beat by the guy who beats everybody deep, you know? Yeah, it's how do you figure it out, you know? How far back does Sean Davis have to play before it's, you know, too far back or something along those lines, you know? And, yeah, the Travis Kelce, he really didn't do anything against the Chargers. So when you factor that in, you know, they're probably going to try and get him going. So when it's all factored together, they're a tough team to defend overall schematically. So the Steelers have their work cut out for them. Like I said, they felt like they lost that first game. So, you know, you don't want to go into this 0-2 feeling if you're the Steelers. So they're going to, you know, the Chiefs are coming in 1-0 feeling hot. It would be a tough loss for them. So, but we're both thinking the Steelers are going to win. We were pretty on last season, except for the Jaguars kept getting us, but we were pretty on last season. So we'll see if we're back again. But that was Brian Harker over at Steelers Wire. Check out everything he's doing. I'm Parker Hurley of Full Press Coverage, Full Press Coverage Radio Network, everything along those lines, at FPC _Steelers, at Parker Hurley. Check everything we do there. We'll have a preview, written preview throughout the week. So, and we'll be back on, I think it'll be probably Monday, we'll be back to talk about how this Chiefs game played out, how they did try and defend Tyreek Hill, everything like that. And, you know, hopefully the Steelers are coming in 1-0-1. So we will see. But yeah, that was Brian. I'm Parker. We'll talk to you guys on Monday and have a great rest of your weekend.